Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And because we come to you on a lot of digital platforms, please share far and wide, especially this broadcast, because things aren't going to get better until we make them get better. And we're going to cover some things here with our guest, Guy Gottschalk from My Digital Money. And we asked Guy to come on because there's some things going on right now that you really need to be considering. And I mean, in the immediate, it's red alert, economically, all hands on deck. This is how I'm seeing this. And we are really, really close to power consolidation from the Democrats. And economically, they're not on your side. And Guy has come to talk to us about that. He sees things through the crypto world. He sees things broadly too, but I mean, through the crypto world where he's an expert. And we've asked Guy to come on to talk about some of these things going on, starting with Kamala's tax plan, which is scary. Guy, welcome to the show. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me once again.
Well, I think any American who works for a living is concerned if they've heard about Kamala's tax plan. It's not on their website. They don't have any economic issues because they don't want to alienate, but they've let out what they're expecting to have happen. And now people are picking up on it and repeating it, especially in the mainstream media. What caught your attention?
Yeah, well, the worst thing that I would say caught my attention is the unrealized getting taxed on unrealized gains. Although I know it's for the ultra rich, 100 million and above, but still, if you consider people that have an impact like Elon Musk, if he has to pay taxes on his unrealized gains. He has billions of dollars of unrealized gains from Tesla, for example. And so that would mean he has to sell, probably 20 plus billion dollars worth of stock, which of course would kind of hinder his ability to continue to grow the company and other companies that make such a big impact, right? So that does not help economic growth. Not to mention it's complex to, try to calculate unrealized gains every year. And the second thing is the corporate tax, raising that to, I think, 28% from where it is now, and essentially rolling back the Trump bill that gave a break to corporations. So that also is not good for economic activity because, of course, you're reducing the amount of money that corporations have to spend on hiring and new jobs and investment back into the company. And so these are things that, it's almost like stealing from the rich, giving to the poor, but it's really taken away from, the entities that are helping grow the economy, right? And from an, it really goes against investments and whatnot. And there's also, raising the taxes on the, high net worth individual, not high net worth, but the top tax bracket. So it would climb to 44.6%. Across almost all income types, compared with today's, top rates, which are about 23% for capital gains, 29% for business income, and 39% on wages. So yeah, I mean, it's basically, higher taxes, and not good for economic activity.
Let me respond to what you first said about the unrealized income and the fact it's only for the ultra rich, which I think the amount they set was for over $100 million of income. Okay, there's two things. Number one, they're a bunch of liars. Because they bring in taxes and say it's only for this, and then they start to generalize it and spread it out for the population. So this is only a beachhead where they're getting an entry. Because I'll tell you one thing, they know darn good and well they're not going to collect on people that make 100 million or more, because these people are going to basically liquidate before the law comes into effect, and they're going to take their businesses out of the country. And then that's
Exactly.
going to cause unemployment for people like us. And I'm just a crazy conspiracy theorist that is convinced the Democrats are on a mission to destroy America so they can reinvent it with their own communist utopia. And I think this is one of the ways they'll do it. You're right on the money with this. And if Kamala gets into power, she'll start with this and it'll spread. And Tesla, he'll be gone. He'll go to Dubai or somewhere like that. Don't you agree that there'll be capital flight?
Absolutely, yeah. Capital flight, 100%. If these things pass, yeah.
And then the other thing you mentioned, it was about the corporate tax rate. You said a mouthful here in your opening statement here. I mean, you're absolutely right. The United Nations and whoever they are to tell anyone what to do, but the United Nations said, well, every country should have a minimum 21% corporate tax rate. Okay, that's where we've been. Now they want to take it to 28. That means our corporations will pay 7% more tax than Chinese corporations. Who's going to win in that battle? That's like a tariff on American industry. Yeah, you're absolutely right, guy. This is communism. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, and then you got Kamala showing her colors, where she has said, "I'll take business patents if they aren't doing what we want." And that basically says there's no private property.
So it's really messing with, just supply, demand, economics, and kind of interfering too much. And yeah, I think it wouldn't be good. Of course it would have to pass, the house, and it would be a number of hurdles. So it's not like she could pass it on day one, but it would be obviously a possibility. And I don't think it would be good. And that's why, I think this is one of the main reasons why Elon Musk is, endorsing Trump. That's because he knows he's gonna be, he's gonna lose a lot of money on this, and he's not really money driven, but he wants to use the money to continue to develop, society and these companies and his mission, to go to Mars and whatnot, and this of course would get in the way of that, so.
Oh, no question. There's no way he can. I'll tell you one thing right now. If these people stay in power, Elon Musk's association with NASA and space flights and the space station, that's over. The fact he's supporting Trump, they're not going to give him the time of day. They're already shunning him, guy. They had a meeting of electric vehicle creators. Musk is by far and away the biggest, and the meeting was held at the White House, and he wasn't invited.
Right. Yep, I heard about that.
So you're so right on the money with all of this. But the thing that really gets my attention is the fact that a dollar used to be worth a dollar in 1913, and today it's worth less than 3 cents. When it gets to zero, you can't reinflate that with deficit spending, okay, with inflation. Million times zero is still zero. Do you see the dollar's fate is inevitable, that it's going to crash?
Well, I'm hoping not, but it is being devalued. Unless someone does something about it, I mean, it's not going in the best direction. There's de-dollarization events happening, almost every day. And so, yeah, I think it is not going in a good direction. That's why, I always preach diversification with other assets. It's good to have some dollars for, day-to-day spending, but it's good to kind of store the value in a different currency or different asset, just to, preserve your wealth. So.
That was very politically correct and extremely accurate at the same time. Yeah, I tend to be on the bull in the China closet. I'll say the dollar could be crashing, and you're crazy if you keep more than operating capital in the bank, and you need to look at the alternative. Sorry, that's just the nature of
Well, I
my
don't disagree.
personality.
Yeah. I think you need operating capital. Beyond that, I have my money in various assets.
Yeah, well, I always say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Look at what the elite in this country are doing. They're dumping their dollars and they're going to crypto across the board. We talked about this before, but I think it's important to repeat this for people who didn't see an earlier interview we did about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Trying to think of the best way to put it. Can will crypto be taken down by CBDC?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think anything can really stop Bitcoin. But CBDC would compete with it because it has some of the same benefits, but it also has obviously the huge disadvantage of, privacy, and, basically control, right? That the government can control the currency. And so yeah, it would compete with it, but it wouldn't necessarily stop Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies because they're not under any government control, right? And that's the beauty of it. But yeah, and that's the other thing is that Kamala Harris is kind of very much in favor of exploring CBDCs, and Trump is really on the opposite side of this, where he condemns it and doesn't basically wants to ban development of it. So
I think
yeah.
he's supporting it, Guy. When I've heard Trump, he's in support of Bitcoin.
Yeah, absolutely. He's in support. The Biden administration has not been in support. Yeah, so there's really a big contrast between the two on cryptocurrency. So, from a crypto perspective, I think the market favors, the Trump administration. Also, just the actions he's taken is very, in favor of
Yeah.
crypto. Where Kamala Harris has tried to kind of stay away from it because she doesn't want to alienate voters
Bingo.
at this
Yes.
point. Yeah.
I gotta applaud that. She's avoiding the topic because of alienation. I totally agree with you. Totally agree. And more people are getting into Bitcoin. So imagine when they wake up one day and she goes, "I'm making it illegal." I don't think she can do that. I really don't.
But you can make it difficult, just like the current administration is, right?
Oh
You
yeah.
have Gary Gensler, who the head of the SEC, who just yesterday put out a Wells notice that the SEC is suing another company, OpenSea, which is the number one company that offers NFTs, right? It's an NFT marketplace, and so they're basically trying to say that digital art is securities, and that is something that, of course, would stop if Trump was elected, because one of his promises is that he's going to fire Gary Gensler on the first day.
Could be, yeah. Let me ask you this. What's the basis that they're suing on?
That they're selling, securities, unregistered securities on the platform.
Okay, that's a stretch. Boy, is that a stretch.
Yeah, and again, this is like regulation by enforcement again, right? Instead of making it clear what's a security and what's not a security, and having, friendlier kind of ways to get in compliance that works with the technology, right? Not something that's impossible to do, and there's not a good framework. And so, Trump and also his past, some of his past administration, who's been in the industry, they're very much in favor and have always been in favor of creating a regulation that's keeps the innovation here in the US, right? And also, makes sure that we're number one in, crypto innovation. So from that perspective, I try not to be political, but from a crypto perspective, obviously I have a preference.
Well, you have to. I mean, right now, when you basically have someone saying, in effect, they're going to eliminate private property, okay, and they want to tokenize everything. Yeah, we all have to take sides now. I mean, they have come right to our doorstep for each and every one of us economically. I want to make sure that the audience understands one thing you brought up, and it's such a good point, the unrealized income. People, let me give you one example just so you can, if you're not familiar with this, and a lot of my audience is, but if you're not, if you bought your house for $100,000 for the sake of round numbers, and then your house is appraised at $500,000, Kamala's Harris's proposal is to take the $400,000 difference and tax it at 25%, and that means you'll owe $100,000. How many of you have $100,000 laying around? And this is ex post facto, meaning they're making it legal to do this on Tuesday for something that you had on Monday. And that's illegal under the Constitution. but I don't see them stopping. So Guy, I just wanted to get that in there because when you brought up unrealized gains, I'd say 75% of my audience understands that. But also it's stock market too, isn't it?
Yeah, for stock markets as well, and then for crypto as well. I mean, if
Oh
you
my
have
gosh.
Bitcoin and I'm at 100K gain, and most people are at a huge gain right now, right? Because we're almost at all-time high. So now that means the millions of people that have crypto have to pay taxes at the end of this year, right? And so imagine what that does, right? What that does to their ability to invest, right? These are a bunch of investors that, like having this money in the market is good for the economy. And then all of a sudden, they have to sell because, and it could create a big sell-off as well, right? And also inflate house prices, which, pricing more people out than already priced out of the market. So yeah, it's a really bad idea.
But you just, I had, I'm not surprised, but I should have thought of this earlier. So if I had gold sitting around hypothetically, and my gold since I bought it has appreciated by $10,000, I would have to pay $2,500 in tax on that, wouldn't I? This would go to gold and stocks and everything, wouldn't it? Wow.
Yeah, and so it's also really hard to calculate. There's also a complexity here, right? Determining unrealized gains is not easy, especially for non-liquid assets. And so it's administratively complex, and can lead to disputes over valuations as well. So it's just hard to count money you don't have, right? I mean, so I think it also just goes, it's a big philosophical shift from where we were when we founded this country, right? Well, which is like the philosophy is, that you shouldn't be taxed on money you haven't received, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that I'm sorry, but that's the common sense approach. But the robber baron approach is to squeeze as much money out of you as any way they can think of.
Yeah, just trying to, increase revenue in the government so we can continue to misspend money and, overspend.
Well, I take a broad perspective, and I know that you don't even look at this because you're just concerned about what crypto is going to do tomorrow and in 6 months and in 2 years. I get that. I think this is not only wealth transfer. I think this is about control, so people can't rise up, become wealthier, and become, one of them that competes. I think it's called keeping people in their place by eliminating the ability to acquire wealth and have it expand. And in fact, I'll give you fuel to the fire for this, Guy. The crypto proposals I've been seeing for, not crypto, but CBDC proposals I've been seeing are your CBDC value expires every 30 days. You got to use it or you got to lose it. You can't acquire wealth.
Sorry about that. One second.
Okay. So I don't know. Did you catch what I said?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it looks like they're trying to prevent generational accumulation of wealth. They're doing it to f farmers with exorbitant capital gains taxes, so their families can't afford to inherit their farms. It's kind of the same principle. Wow, it's amazing. So one of our talking points was which party is more favorable to the people economically. So, we've kind of already answered that, haven't we?
Yeah, totally. We have, Trump has shown significant shift towards embracing cryptocurrencies, and in particular Bitcoin. He's proposed creating a U.S. government strategic national Bitcoin stockpile that's aimed to hold about 5% of the total Bitcoin supply, which would mirror the scale of the U.S. Gold reserves. This is seen a way to position the U.S. as a leader in cryptocurrency. And also, his regulatory stance, he's pledged to fire SEC Chair Gary Gensler, as I said, on day one. And, he basically wants to create a more crypto-friendly regulatory environment, which is what's been missing in this industry. And he's also expressed heavy opposition against CBDCs, aligning with the cryptocurrency community concerned over government control. So yeah, I mean, 100%, he's way more pro crypto.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I'm just speculating here, but I'm thinking, why would President Trump go out of his way to say that he supports crypto and Bitcoin and so forth? And he's gone out of his way to talk about it. And he's not saying, hey, I really support the dollar. The future of the dollar is great. I'm wondering if he's not looking at crypto as like a lifeboat. So if the worst happens with the dollar, and people are in crypto, they can jump to that lifeboat and get through.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I was I yeah, that's to me would maybe explain his motivation. Crypto industry, are they voting for Trump, in your opinion?
I think so. I mean, you can't say everyone, because not, it's like you may that and then might not be the only, issue that you care about, but I think so. I mean, he spoke at the Bitcoin conference and that was met with huge enthusiasm. So it seems like the crypto community, which is pretty much represented in that conference, is very, pro-Trump. So
Okay. Yeah, gosh, I'd like to say you're unique, but you're not. Any business that's concerned about its profits is not lining up with Harris. They don't want to hear a president say, I can come get your patents whenever I want. That's bad. Okay, the other thing I want to look at this internationally now. Okay, there are two major international developments involving crypto. And two very controversial countries for us, Russia and China. What's going on there?
yeah, so with Russia, they're moving towards launching state-linked crypto exchanges for international transactions. I think they're actually releasing next week. So that allows for cross-border trading in crypto. So that's pretty big because that is basically, helps circumvent sanctions and basically increases the or decreases the footprint and of dollars in trade, right? And of course they're going to be trading a lot with China and other countries. So yeah, they're really have paved the way for regulatory framework of crypto in Russia that's more friendly than it has been. I'm still going to have some heavy oversight, but yeah, they have plans that basically involve two cryptocurrency exchanges, one likely leveraging the infrastructure of St. Petersburg Currency Exchange for foreign economic activity and another in Moscow. So yeah, they'll be facilitating trades. They're also working on a CBDC as well. And China, while it's not there's no concrete evidence. There's been a lot of speculation that they're going to be unbanning crypto. It's still a rumor, but as you recall, they banned crypto mining in the country a few years ago. Mining used to represent, or basically China represented 70% of the mining before. Now it's at zero. And there's been talk of them kind of unbanning that, which would make sense because, basically, Russia's working on enabling cryptocurrency trading, so it would make sense that China would align with Russia on this.
Yeah, I know the BRICS arrangement too with gold, and then you've got them also looking at crypto. It's almost like they want a basket of currencies to back up the use of their paper money that they don't currently have.
Right. Yeah. And they are also working on, the BRICS, some kind of potentially stable coin, right? Or
Yes.
some other currency, to, kind of reshape, how trade is done. So yeah, that's all kind of, longer lines of what I mentioned before as de-dollarization, right? That's just another kind of activity that's, de-dollarizing the world. It's not the best news for the US, but it also is good in terms of, crypto adoption and legitimizing crypto further. So, you know, it's good and bad, double-edged sword.
You gave me two thoughts, Guy. Number one, I can see why the left doesn't want crypto because they want war with Russia. That's very, very clear from their actions. And here's the second point. It ties into this. Russia and China, they go crypto. They benefit from America's crypto participation greatly. This would be a big boost to their economy and the value of their currency if they could count on American crypto coming in. I'm wondering, could crypto actually prevent a world war because it's better to have economic interdependence and profitability than it would be to have your nations lie in ruin because of World War III?
Maybe, yeah, that's a thought beyond, you know, my comprehension or my political involvement, but it certainly is possible. Yeah.
Well, if I could trade with you and we could mutually benefit, I'd much rather that do that than have to get in a street fight with you.
Yeah.
That's why I said what I said. Like I said, I never thought of it until you started talking down this road about what Russia and China are doing, and I'm thinking, my gosh, think of all the crypto holders there are in America today. They benefit from America's participation. Now we have reasons why countries don't go to war with each other. They're economically interdependent.
Yeah, and then look, the US would benefit as well if it embraces crypto and leads the innovation of, you know, different blockchains and cryptocurrencies. Then, you know, of course, then the US can become a primary beneficiary of it. But we have to embrace it, and we have to, you know, not cause countries or companies to leave the US like they have been. And I'm talking about crypto companies.
You know, as I think this out of my mind, the people that are really causing trouble in the world, like Hamas, you know, Lebanon, the Houthis in Yemen, they could benefit from a trickle-down effect from the people they're aligned with, namely Russia. In that instance, the trickle-down effect will be, okay, Russia's economy gets more profitable because of what they're doing with currencies away from fiat money, and the trickle-down effect to them could help their economy. I mean, the more I think this through, the more I think this through, the more I think America should really jump into this full-fledged.
Yeah, and look, right now the market is not, you know, big enough yet, right? It's, you know, a couple $1 trillion, but you know, I think in the future when it's more mature, you know, yeah, it could have a bigger impact. But yeah, I think that it's still early, and that's why I always try to encourage, you know, my friends and family to get in now and just hold, right? Because, you know, it's going in the direction of, you know, it could be a very dominant currency in the world that, you know, is used for trade. So yeah.
What's Bitcoin going at right now?
So it's around 60,000 last I checked.
Okay.
It went briefly underneath, and let me verify it now, but yeah, 60,544.
So
So yeah.
this is the right time to get in because that's kind of low on the side. It's a side of low ebb here because it's been as I remember the last time we talked, I think it was like at 67 and it went even higher than that.
Yeah, it went into the 70s. But yeah, I would say we're at a higher low now. It's not, you know, super low. It's still, you know, not too far from the all-time high. We're at about a 40% gain this year. We've definitely gone much higher. So, you know, it's really been keeping its 60,000 level. And you know, I think I've always said, and other analysts have said that, you know, they expect significant growth in the fourth quarter, starting in the second half of September. So, of course, you can never predict these things, you know, 100%, but, you know, there's the right conditions to, you know, see a spike, you know, as interest rates potentially start to ease up as well. That will really increase supply, take money away from, you know, the, you know, treasuries and like the high yield banking accounts and bring it back into high risk assets. And yeah, I think Bitcoin should start taking off at that point.
You know, if I think if either side is elected, it's going to help crypto, and I'll tell you why. If Kamala gets in with her anti-capitalist policies, people are going to run to the safe havens of alternative investments. Okay, outside the dollar, in the stock market. And if Trump gets in, especially like with crypto, I think we're going to see a boom like we've never seen.
Yeah, so it's a win-win, is what you're saying for
Yeah, that's
me.
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just,
Yeah.
as I'm playing this out, and I got to tell you, this goes back to my days as a college basketball coach, and I used to game plan by being the other coach, looking at my team with his team and say, how would I play against this guy? What would be my strategy? So when I put myself in the mind of Putin, okay, Russia may get drawn into a war with us, okay, that we exacerbate with this administration, but he knows this country is going to be in ruins. He knows that. There's no way around that. I mean, he can't stop our 80 submarines that have these intercontinental ballistic nuclear weapons. It's not going to happen. And he knows this. So what would you do if you were Putin or even Xi Jinping? Gee, maybe we develop interdependence economically and we can avoid this catastrophe. That's how I would look at it if I was Putin. I'd say, I don't really want to go down this road. Boy, this is amazing here. Here's the thing that people are going to do. They're going to listen to this like I am and say, I need more crypto. So let me ask you this question, though. Practical. I'm holding my crypto, but I have a need to buy a car and I maybe want to pay cash for the car. How do you convert the crypto and make it usable in today's economy?
Well, I mean, you could simply sell it, right? Like if you're with My Digital Money or other exchanges, especially with Bitcoin and Ethereum and the big ones, they're highly liquid. You just sell it, you get the money the same day, and then you can withdraw it into your bank account and use it. More and more merchants are starting to accept crypto, so I expect in the next few years it's going to be more widely accepted and you'll be able to purchase a car with it at the dealership, right?
Yeah.
And like MasterCard and other big merchants are working on this, on basically converting crypto to fiat at point of sale. So you could probably spend your crypto seamlessly at point of sale with your Visa or MasterCard, right? And so that's something that you'll be able to do. So you'll be able to use it directly, but for now, most people that I know, they just liquidate and then use the cash, right?
Yeah, I guess this is what I kind of envision from what you're saying then. Let's assume that you can't use your crypto to go buy something directly, although I agree that day is coming. There was an NFL football player, I don't remember his name. He demanded his contract be paid in crypto. And they actually did it. So let's assume, though, that there's not the conversion yet. Okay, so you have need for cash for a transaction. Would it be that My Digital Money would send an ACH wire transfer to your bank account, and that's how you'd get it?
Yeah, I mean you can do that now. I mean you basically liquidate and then you click a few buttons because a lot of people connect their bank accounts directly to us through Plaid, right? It's like a well-known integration with banks and they could just initiate the transfer that way. So yeah, I mean it's possible today and yeah, that's how most people do it, but there are a lot of people, a lot of merchants that do accept crypto. I've had a lot of friends and me myself, I've bought things with crypto as well. So there are some merchants that accept it. But likely at a dealership, I'm sure you could find a dealership that would accept it. I'll have to research that. I'll let you know if you're interested in buying a car.
No, we're out of the car business. I was just saying hypothetically, but
Yeah.
I was really saying this on behalf of our audience because, some of them are first time. Hey, crypto sounds pretty good. I want to find out more. But gee, the question I have is how could I convert it? And that would be something that if I didn't know the answer, which I did, that I'd want to know if I was in the audience and I didn't
Yeah, I
have
mean,
that
look, there
experience.
are people, you know, that accept crypto directly into their wallet, right? I mean, I can imagine a dealership saying, "Oh, we accept crypto. Here's the wallet address," you know, and they're sitting in the office and they can literally go on their phone to their wallet and just say, "Okay, what's your address?" Okay, $30,000. Press a button, and literally, like within a minute, it's, you know, the dealer can be like, "Oh, I got it. Here it is," you know, and that's it, right? And so it's very instantaneous compared to, you know, going through the banks and everything. So, yeah, I mean, any merchant can decide to accept it that way. But yeah, so it's, you know, it's possible today.
Okay, that's good. Now, within your organization, is there any way that people can find out these kinds of answers that maybe we didn't cover or cover in enough detail for them?
Yeah, absolutely. You can call us, and we have very knowledgeable people that pick up the phone, US based. And I can give you the number. It's 833-636-2008. And yeah, I mean, that's one of the differentiators at My Digital Money, is that we actually talk to you on the phone and, you know, answer any question, not just about our service, but about crypto, new coins, you know, whatever it is. Otherwise, you could just go on mydigitalmoney.com, find information, and easily sign up too.
Well, yeah, again, I want to give that number out, 833-636-2008. And interesting, last economic collapse, 2008.
That's how you remembered, right? With
Yeah,
those.
that's how I'll remember it. Yeah, because yeah, that's a kind of ironic. But yeah, your people would answer the question. I also know from what you said before in previous interviews, you have a play account where people can come in and play with it and get familiar with it.
Yeah, they can, you know, try before they really buy, and so they can get familiar with our platform and with how to trade in the market. And even if you already have an active account with real money in it, you could still, you know, use the play money account to trade in parallel, just to test out strategies and whatnot. So it's, you know, kind of a fun feature that we have.
You know what I'm seeing from the elite too? I know what they're doing with crypto. But publicly, you know what they're saying? Yeah, crypto isn't the best idea. And then you got Gary Gensler and his lawsuit. They're just trying to discourage the public from doing what it is the elite are doing.
Yeah, I mean, they're going after the big, you know, crypto companies. They always have been. So,
Yeah.
I hope we get rid of that
Well, he's just a stooge for the people that don't want competition, but the elite are going into this full-fledged. You know, I talk to enough brokers around the country that I get this. They go, they're saying one thing and doing another, Dave. This is what I get all the time. And this is the new, we've destroyed our dollar, okay? And people need to look to the alternatives now. We have, the dollar is just about dead. It's on life support. And now that the petro currencies are going away because the world's going to BRICS and they're abandoning the petro dollar, the demise of the dollar is inevitable, and that's why people need to look to alternatives. I have people say, "Well, my money's safe in the bank; it's insured." And you know what I say, guy? Yeah, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation has 0.8% of the funds on hand they need to cover the accounts. So it ain't gonna happen. I mean, we're basically running uninsured right now in our bank accounts. Did I miss anything today that you wanted to bring to the
I would
table?
say, in terms of crypto investing, a crypto IRA is a good idea, especially if you look at the tax proposal we were talking about in the beginning. You know, if you buy crypto in an IRA account, then you don't have to worry about taxes, right? At least not until you retire, you know, down the line. And so that's a good kind of vehicle to consider, especially if Kamala Harris gets elected.
And with the crypto IRA, does the person own the account instead of the bank or the more or the financial institution?
Yeah, so the person that holds the asset, the crypto, is the legal owner. We manage the wallet, but you know, legally, we're not allowed to spend or do anything with the crypto asset because you own
Okay.
it. So yeah, so it's in your, it's, you know, in our possession, but we're holding it on your behalf.
Well, here's why I ask it. There's a law out there called the Dodd-Frank law, and all account holders are declared to be an unsecured creditor, which means if the banks decide, hey, we're in trouble, we're just going to take all the money for ourselves, they can legally get away with doing that. And that's why I asked. So the
Yeah, they're
crypto is
not.
independent of the control of a bank, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not
The
an
IRA.
unsecured creditor. Yeah, like you are with some exchanges, even, right? Like
Yeah.
Coinbase and some other ones. I mean, if you read the fine print, you can be in a an unsecured creditor in a case of a bankruptcy, waiting in line for your crypto, right?
Been waiting for a long time,
Yeah,
but not for crypto, because if they don't own it, yeah, exactly. This is a win-win. I'm glad you came on because, even though I know you try to stay apolitical, and all the times I've had you on,
very hard.
we've never gotten into the element of politics. But today, with the attacks on free enterprise and the critical nature of our money right now, I don't see how we can avoid not being political because our economic survival is at stake.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, it's very hard. I told myself in this interview I'm going to try to, not show which side I'm leaning towards, but it's like you said, very hard.
I'm sorry, but you left the trail of breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
I just, but you know what, Guy, it's okay because what you're saying is what every reasonable American who's not a communist is saying. I want free enterprise. I want to be able to build my wealth through my efforts, and I don't want government to take it from me. And that's, I don't think that's political. It's just common sense.
Yeah.
And the other side has really kind of shown their hand, and my gosh, this is a critical election. But I do agree with one thing, though. It doesn't really matter who wins the election if you take preemptive action and you're not in their system. That's one thing I think that people need to
Hope you're
know.
right.
Well, Guy, I really appreciate you coming on. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to get widely circulated, this interview, because we've covered a lot of important topics and you've answered a lot of important questions. And people are going to say, hey, my Uncle Dave needs to hear this, and they're going to send that out. I think this is really going to circulate. And people, I encourage you to do this, because if you do nothing, and this administration stays in power, this is Dave saying this, not Guy. I think you're going to live to regret the day that you didn't do this. So, Guy, thanks for coming on, my friend. Again, that number to call if you want to find out more is 833-636-2008, 2008. Guy, thanks so much for coming on. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Yes, same here. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Before 10 years ago, could you imagine a time when someone could have committed a crime that's already on the books, or they committed multiple crimes, or thousands of crimes to be exact, and it's on the books as being illegal? But then the ruling authority comes along and says, well, we're going to let them get away with that. Well, wait a minute, those crimes are still affecting society. That doesn't matter. Going forward, we'll let you enforce the law the way it is. This is what just happened between the citizens of Arizona and the Supreme Court. But it's not just Arizona. This applies to the 49 other states. This is despicable. This is inexcusable. And we're going to break it down for you right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host. And we're the show, Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. We ask you to share this story. We got to amplify the message because we have a largely ignorant nation to still wake up. People still watch the mainstream media. People still are thinking the Democrats are for the underprivileged, the underserved, and they're only for their donor class. So just, yeah, we need to wake them up. So please share. We're brought to you by the Magic Dicol products, in particular the Nanosoma spray. This spray, all it is, once a day, five sprays, maintenance dose. But if you got into crisis like I was back in the last week in February, early March, I was doing five sprays every hour. And you can't OD on this product because it's natural. It boosts your vitamin C, and you don't produce it yourself. And this is amazing what it does. It enhances the vitamin D receptors. The advantages are incredible. Improves longevity by enhancing telomeres. But what it did for me was giving my life back. What it's doing for people that are writing me testimonials, like Glenna from North Carolina, and she's saying, Dave, I had bronchitis and it wasn't going away, and I was concerned. And I started taking this product at your urging, and it's all disappeared. This is the kind of thing that we're getting from people. And it's across the board, different conditions, different situations, but people are experiencing incredible benefits. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. To get through what we're about ready to get through, you need to be the best version of your healthy self. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, we're in a little bit of a dilemma. And more than a little bit of a dilemma, we have the Supreme Court sanctioning voter fraud. Oh, it's not carte blanche. And it was a 5-4 decision, but let me explain. Arizona had ruled that 40,000 illegitimate, unproven voters for citizenship should be taken off the voter rolls. That's the law. That's the federal law. That's the state law. That's the law. But the Supreme Court, the case got appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, and they came back and they ruled, oh, no. Those 40,000 get to stay. But they didn't prove they were citizens, and that's the law. That doesn't matter. That's what we say. A 5-4 decision. The four flaming liberals. And do you know who betrayed the American people? The citizens of Arizona, free and fair elections. Amy Coney Barrett, the biggest fraud to ever serve on the Supreme Court. I'm a conservative, Donald Trump. Yeah, look at it. She's not. Was it a case of him not doing homework? I don't know. But what I do know is she's betraying the trust that she presented when she was confirmed as a conservative judge. She's anything but. She just sanctioned voter fraud. Now, with all the voter fraud that happened in the 2022 midterm election in Arizona, in which very unlikely Katie Hobbs narrowly defeated Carrie Lake by 11,000 votes, so many fraudulent votes, unbelievable. But anyway, the 40,000 could swing in next election. It could cause Ruben Gallego, wild-eyed radical liberal for totally open borders. He could defeat Carrie Lake with these 40,000 illegitimate voters. This is beyond comprehension. And, for the life of me, I don't understand why Joe Biden wants to revamp the Supreme Court. I mean, first of all, it's the craziest Looney Tunes idea I've ever heard from a president. But why would he want to mess with what's working? The Supreme Court just sanctioned voter fraud in Arizona to the tune of 40,000 voters, and it's in perpetuity. It's not just this coming election, it's any other election that we have coming up. Although we may not have another election after this election. I'll tell you, Kamala Harris, and I've heard some clips of her speech now. I agreed with one thing she said. This isn't just another election that we have every 4 years. This is the election. That's true. If these people stay in power, you need to heed my warning. And if you don't believe me, you need to get a history book out and start doing some research on tyranny. We've gone through a satanic Bolshevik communist coup. Could you imagine just going back to the Obama years if they'd have said, yeah, the government supports cutting kids' genitals off? Could you imagine that being the case? Can you imagine going back to the Clinton years and they're chastising families and motherhood and so forth and having babies? And they fly the pride flag at the White House to the exclusion of every other lifestyle? Can you imagine the uproar that would have happened? We've gone through a coup, and history shows. A coup is always followed by a purge. And a purge is preceded by gun confiscation. Sorry, but it's true. University-wide democide project, decades-long research still ongoing, 16 genocides, 20th century, all of them preceded by gun confiscation. Folks, this is what's in our future with Kamala Harris, and she told you this. Would you people start believing them when they speak? When they tell you what they're going to do to you? I'm going to give Congress 100 days. If they don't take the guns, I will by executive order. She can't do that. And this is what I hear when I tell people, and she can't do that. Yeah, well, Biden canceled the Keystone Pipeline. He can't do that. Well, he did. Biden cancels student loan debts by the millions, and you're paying out of your pocket for someone else's education. They can't do that. That's public gift to private. No, it's what they're doing. They're defying the Supreme Court. Exactly. Exactly. I could go on and on with these fraudulent contradictions by our public officials, a lot of them with Merrick Garland. A lot of them. But it's irrelevant. The Constitution's on life support. The Supreme Court, which is supposed to be the defender of the Constitution, is now turned to anything but. I'll go back to a worse ruling with the Supreme Court. And this was under, I think it was under Obama. No, it was under Bush. Same difference. Bush is one of them. The Bush family, are you kidding me? You kidding me? No, Bush family is classic poster child for rhino Republicans. But the Supreme Court decision that took place then, led by Roberts, who cast the deciding vote, compromised justice. Yeah, I mean, might want to pull back the covers. Well, that could be kind of gross, but he's compromised for very well-known reasons. He cast the deciding vote that said that reversed eminent domain law in the United States. It used to be you could only take private property with fair compensation for a public purpose, like building a hospital, expanding a road. Okay, I don't believe in eminent domain like that, but you could have done that, okay, for a public purpose. And then there was an argument that a city had come in and condemned land and was taking it away from private people and giving it to private developers. And the argument was you can't go private to private. That's unconstitutional and illegal. It's a violation of the Fifth Amendment, due process. And the court says, no, it's not. Not if it somehow could maybe kind of sort of benefit the public. That was the worst Supreme Court decision in my lifetime. Well, maybe taking prayer out of the classrooms. You see, we've made the mistake of thinking the Supreme Court has always been this objective body. It hasn't been, and it's growing worse by the day. I think the worst decision the Supreme Court ever made in its history was Dred Scott. Slave runs away, is caught, taken back to unimaginable horrors. And his argument was once he escaped to a free state, he was a free man. They says, oh, no. And who was on the Supreme Court? What was their political makeup? Seven Democrats, two Republicans. I rest my case. This Supreme Court, and especially you, Amy Coney Barrett, you're a disgrace to the Supreme Court. And you have just sanctioned voter fraud in the state of Arizona. And don't think in Atlanta, in Fulton County, if you go before the Supreme Court and you want to get rid of your illegitimate voters, don't think for a second it's going to happen. We're talking in Arizona now, 40,000 unconfirmed citizens, most of them living at the intersection of walk and don't walk, are going to be able to influence and steal another election. That's it for the Common Sense Show. We'll see you back here again next time.